Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, we have him. But does he have us? We have him, but does he have us? And he has us to a degree. But he wants us to the fullness. To surrender our hearts, to surrender our minds, to surrender everything to him so that he can live through us in a mighty way. You know, when he has you, you will live in a continual state of personal revival. Are you here? There won't be lulls from one day to the next, but you will live in a continual state of personal revival when he has you. I don't know about you, but I want him to have all of me. Amen. I want him to have all of me. His presence and power, they are key to unlock heaven upon the earth in our lives. Amen. Heaven is more than a place. Yes, it's a place, but heaven is a person. Amen. And wherever he is at, the worst place on earth, it could be hell, literally. But it can be heaven when he's there. He changes things. Amen. His presence and his power change things. You can be seated this morning. Let's stay in this flow. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Praise God. You ought to be prayed up and ready. Are you prayed up and ready? Just some scriptures that I want to open up with this morning. One that you should all know if you've been around here any length of time at all. Zechariah chapter 4. Look at this. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says this from the New King James, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." How many times do we leave out the Holy Spirit? You know, you can take him for granted, and you shouldn't. To forget about God. Amen. Or excuse me, to forget about the Holy Spirit is to forget about God. I don't want to forget about him. Amen. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." New Living says, "It's not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's not by force. In other words, nothing natural. Not by your strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God's Word translation says, "You won't succeed by might or by power, but by my spirit." In other words, it's the Spirit of God that's going to help us succeed. You can't succeed without him. Amen. You can't succeed without him. You can't succeed. New Century Version puts it this way. It says, "You can't succeed or will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power." Amen. "But by my Spirit," he says. And the Message Bible puts it this way. It says, "You can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit." You can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit. Don't you just love that? Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now look over at Ephesians chapter 5. This is where we began last week and where we'll begin today. Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 18, it says this, New King James, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, it's important that we live full, isn't it? That we live full of him every day and in every way. The New Living says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Wow. Hallelujah. be filled with the Holy Spirit. I would much rather be filled with Him than anything else. Amen. Alcohol is a cheap counterfeit. Drugs are a cheap counterfeit to being filled with the Spirit of God. You'll not want anything else when you get full of Him. There is nothing that this world has to offer, amen, that is full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we're growing. We're growing and we're changing. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about this, that if we are in the same spiritual place and condition that we were in last Sunday, it sounds kind of strong here, but you're backslidden. If you are in the same spiritual place and same spiritual condition as you were last Sunday, you are backslidden. You're a backslider. Sounds kind of hard, but it's true just the same. Amen. In this walk of faith and in this family of believers, we are always progressing and we are always moving forward. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith, right? We walk by faith. In other words, this is a walk. And if we are walking and God's walking and we're keeping in step with Him, we are continually growing, we are continually changing, we are continually moving forward. And the moment that you stop walking, you're backslidden because everybody else is ahead. Amen? I don't want to be back here. I want to always be moving with Him and be in step with Him. What about you? Amen. If you aren't walking, then you're behind. I don't want to be behind. Don't want to be ahead either. I just want to be right in step with Him. Right in step with the Master. Step by step by step. Where He leads. Amen. We will follow. We'll follow by faith. Not check in with our senses. Not check in with what we see. Not check in with what we feel. But we check in with the Spirit. Amen. We don't have to ask our feelings. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Amen. But the great thing about it is, if we ever find ourselves behind, we have been given an amazing gift of God's grace that will enable us the ability to repent and to get back on track and to get back in step. Amen. And He will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you to catch up. He'll help you to redeem the time. He'll help you once again to be in step with God. Amen. And to be in step with His glorious, ever unfolding plan. I want to be in step with the plan of God. What about you? I want to be in step with the plan of God. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that should fascinate us more than the plan of God. Amen. There's nothing that should attract us and hold our attention more than God and His plan, His individual plan for our lives and for us corporately as well. There's nothing that should attract us. There's nothing else that should hold our attention like that, like His plan. Amen. If you are mesmerized by anyone or anything else in this world, then you don't have what God wants you to have. If anything else in this world has your attention, if you're filling up on anything else in this world, then you don't have what God wants you to have. I want what He wants me to have. Amen. And I believe you too. Amen. I believe you too. I believe that you too want that. Praise God. Now, look at something here. I was thinking about this morning. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we haven't looked at this verse in a while, but we need to look at it today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm thankful for the Word. What about you? When you live full of Him, you will be changing continually. That'll be the result of living full of His Spirit. You will be changing continually because he will always challenge you to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, are you there? Verse 18. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Notice that. It's a progression. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Amplified puts it this way, and I love this. This is so eye-opening. It says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly, notice that, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image. In ever-increasing splendor, it says, and from one degree of glory to another. We are in the process, you are in the process of being glorified. I don't want to be worldfied or poverty-fied or disease-fied, but I want to be glorified as we continue to behold Him, as we continue to spend time in His presence. As we continue to fill up and drink deeply of His Spirit. Amen. Amen. As we continue to do these things, we are growing, we are changing from one degree of glory to another. You should be a different degree today than you were yesterday. You should be a higher degree today than you were last week. Amen. So you need to check your temperature. Check your spiritual temperature regularly. I mean daily. Amen. So that you can be hot for the things of God. Amen. Amen. Are you hot? Or are you cold? See, a lot of Christians, we're just like that. That cup of tea or cup of coffee that's been sitting there for an hour and you go to take a drink of it, you don't realize how much time has gone by because, you know, time just slips away from you and you take a drink and you're like, ugh. Right? We'd rather have it hot. Me personally, I'd rather have it hot or have it cold, but I don't want it lukewarm. Just something about that. Just don't like it. Amen. Hot or cold? Hot or cold? So what are you today? Are you hot or are you cold? You need to ask yourself that. Praise God. If we want to increase in the things of God, and if we want to grow in faith, as He desires for us to grow in faith, then you must settle it once and for all that you won't resist the daily counsel of the Holy Spirit. He wants to counsel you daily. He wants to lead you daily. Don't ever resist the daily counsel of the Holy Spirit. Let's live full of Him, full of His counsel. Amen. Learn to seek the will of God, even in the small things. Pray about the small things. Seek God in the small things, because the things that seem small to us aren't necessarily small to God. They're large. Don't just seek God in the big things. Seek Him in the small things too. Amen. And seek Him in the big things. Because sometimes the things that seem so large and seem so huge to us are very small to God. See, our perception can be twisted sometimes. It can be tainted sometimes. What we view as small can be large to Him, and what we view as large can be so small to Him. So it matters that we receive and don't resist the daily counsel of the Holy Spirit to show us and to reveal to us these things, to stay, live our lives in tune with Him so that we know we have the wisdom of God to encounter and to meet every challenge that we face here in this life. Amen. You thankful for that?
Amen.
Oh, I'm so thankful. Amen. Think about this. Every one of us that are here today, you have a million times more than you have at this moment. Does that make sense? You have a million times more than you have at this moment. There's so much more available to us that we haven't yet seen, that we need to see. And the only way that you're going to see it is by the Holy Spirit revealing it to you, showing you place in it, so that you can see it. You are a million times bigger on the inside, you should be, than you are on the outside. Amen. Bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Praise God. Live full. Live full and allow that fullness to overflow and affect every area of your life. You bump into people, you're so full, you're so wet. Amen. With the presence of God, with the will of God and the plan of God, the word of God, the spirit of faith is all about you. You encounter people, you help them change. You help them take their place in His glory, in His plan. To grow and change in that. Amen. There's one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there are many infillings. So simple, so elementary, but you can't ever forget that. One baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's many infillings. We must fill up and live full daily. Why? Because you leak. And this world is pulling on you. Every day there are things that you encounter that draw from you, that demand something out of you. So you have to have something in you that's greater to, or at least equal to, or greater than whatever it is that you're encountering. And if you aren't full, and if you aren't living full, then these things that you encounter, they're just going to drag you down deeper and deeper and further and further and further and drag you down into the pit of depression.
Yes.
Discouragement will overtake you. Spirit of heaviness will overtake you. And if you ever find yourself in that place and if you find yourself in that predicament, so to speak, the scripture tells us to put on the garment of praise.
Amen.
In other words, fill up. Put on the garment of praise. Begin to praise. Begin to worship. Fill up on Him. Fill up with His presence. Fill up. Till that becomes greater. And you lose sight of the natural things. Because you're only focused on Him. Amen. There are some things that we need to lose sight of. Amen. Yeah, they may be obvious and they may be right in front of you. But you need to learn how to look over those things. Look on ahead towards the horizon. Look on ahead into glory. Look on ahead into His plan. Look on ahead into the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
And to see the plan of God. And the Lord standing there with His arms open wide, encouraging you. Come on, step by step, walk with me, walk with me. Come this way. Listen, listen, follow me. Don't be diverted by that. That's a lie. That's a trap. Follow me. Stick with me. Stay in my plan. Amen. And all of these voices that scream at us every day. You can live in what may seem to be a quiet place physically, but in your mind it can be one of the loudest places on earth. All of these voices coming at you, tormenting you. What's the key to that? Fill up. Amen. Fill up. Allow the Word and allow the Spirit to renew your mind.
Amen.
And begin to embrace the mind of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
The same mind that Jesus had and walked in when He walked the face of this planet. Amen. It's available to you and I. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, thank God, thank God. This is exciting to me. I hope it's exciting to you. I told you this before, but I'll tell you again this morning because I just love this. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I have revival everywhere I go because I live full of the Spirit. That's what he said. I have revival everywhere I go because I live full of the Spirit. He lived in a continual, perpetual state of personal revival. And that affected the world around him. The dead were raised. Amen. Blind eyes were opened. People would fall onto their knees. I mean, right there. Fall on their knees. Give their hearts to God. Drunk husbands. Husbands that were abusive. Husbands that didn't live right and do right. Sleep in the same bed on the same sheets that he slept in. Something's in this bed. The presence and the anointing of God. So tangible about his life that it saturated that bed that caused that man to cry out and to give his heart over to God. Wow. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want that. And the key for that is to live full. Live full. Amen. Full of him, full of his presence, full of his power. When you live full of the greater one, he truly becomes greater than any and every impossibility. Amen. I'm attracted to him. I'm not detracted or distracted. I'm attracted to him. Amen. Why am I attracted to him? It's because I live full. The empty man will not be attracted to God because there are other things that will attract him, that will pull him. See, it's a catch-22 situation here. Amen. So you got God, you got saved and born again, but you're full of other things, but you're not really attracted to him anymore. You're just not quite as on fire as you used to be. You begin to take the things of God for granted. And you allow spiritual pride to come in. Religious spirits to come in. Are you here? Yeah. And you stop growing. You stop growing. You're not walking by faith. And you're, everybody else is moving forward. But you're like back here. And you shouldn't be. Amen. See, I don't want to allow pride. I don't want to allow any of these things to come in and to hinder my walk with him. Amen. Remain humble. It's the humble man that's teachable. Amen. And it's the humble man that'll live full. Amen. 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 The humble man will be so full of God. It's the prideful that's full of themselves. So you're going to be full of something. The prideful man will be full of self. He'll be full of his own ideas. He'll be full of his own religion. Instead of being full of God. And look down their noses at everybody else. Well, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've been doing this for 60 years. I've been doing this for 70 years. The moment that you say that, there's pride that's attached to that. Depending on the context, what you're talking about. And you begin to elevate yourself and you begin to exalt yourself up here. I don't want that to happen. In my life, I don't want that to happen in your life. I want to remain humble so I can be so full of him. Amen? Amen? The empty man isn't interested in God. God is an afterthought. He's not a forethought. He's an afterthought to the empty man. Coming to church is an afterthought to the empty man. Are you here? Getting involved in the ministry of Jesus on the earth is an afterthought to the empty man. But those who live full, you are excited about this because you are driven by eternity. You are driven by the things that matter the most. Not the things of this world that are one day just going to burn up and disappear. And everything that you seemingly work for, it's gone. Just a puff of smoke and a pile of ashes. Wow. I don't want that. Amen. I don't want that. Praise God. It's the empty man that's not interested in God until he becomes so desperate and low enough to call out to him for help. And sometimes that happens where you do get low and you do get desperate and you do end up under the barrel, so to speak. Not at the bottom, but under the barrel, so to speak. And then you do become desperate. Realize that you're desperate for natural things, desperate for spiritual things, and he's gracious. He's always there to help us. Amen. Living full will keep you from becoming desperate for natural things. Amen. I'm not desperate for anything else in this world. I'm desperate for him, so to speak. I desire him. When you live full, you will always be desperate for him. When you live empty, you'll live desperate for natural things, provision. Amen. Full of him. That's how he desires for us to live. That's how he desires for you and I to live. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's read this again, Ephesians 5. It's okay today? A little bit different. I love the flow of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18. Let me read this to you again. This is out of the Passion. It's a paraphrase. It says, "Neither be drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit." Anything else that we're full of other than God is rebellion. It's rebellion towards the things of God. You are rebelling towards the Spirit of God. You are rebelling towards the Word. You are rebelling against the very one and the very thing that can help you. Amen? He said, instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with his fullness. Amen? How many full people you have here? How many of you are filling up? You're getting fuller today than you were yesterday. Getting stronger today. See, it's the full man that's strong. The empty man will be weak and puny. But the full man will be full of strength. Why? Because he's full of joy no matter what it is that he's facing. Amen. And the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. Because you're full. You only lose your joy when you're empty. Keep your joy. Keep your joy. Stay full of God. Remain full of the Word, full of faith, full of love. Amen. In order to experience God's best here in this world in which we live. If you're full, think about this. If you're full of the Prince of Peace, the peace isn't going to be an issue for you. Because you're full of him. You have peace himself. Amen. You won't have a hard time having love in your home. Because you see, love is not a feeling. Love is a person. 1 John tells us that God is love. He doesn't just have love, he is love. When you're full of him, you'll be full of love. For him and for others. Especially during those times, it's so easy to love somebody when everything's going good. When all the feelings are there. Isn't that wonderful to love somebody when the feelings are there? Don't you just love it when the feeling, everything's going the right direction. It's so easy to love them. But when those feelings change and they're going the other direction, Why do you tell that knothead husband of yours then?
Love you.
That's right, says the husband. That's right, Greg. Amen. You love, you stay in love, you walk in love. Because you see, you're moving forward. You made a covenant before God. You made a commitment before the holy altar of God. Amen. You made a stand publicly to love for better, for worse. Amen. Not that it's God's will that we be sick, because it's never God's will. But when things like that happen, you love, you stay there, you keep your commitment, you help. Amen. It's okay today. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We need to become more aware of Him, of His presence. Become more God inside minded than we have been. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look here at verse 16. New King James, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit," it says, "dwells in you?" Don't you know this? Next time you're feeling down in the dumps, next time something is attacking your body, next time the devil's trying to do something, right? "Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So you got to know that. Now listen to this. This is out of the mirror. It's a paraphrase. It says this: "Realize that your life is God's building, His sanctuary, designed for His permanent abode. His Spirit inhabits you." Let me read that again. "Realize that your life is God's building." Your life is His building. His sanctuary, designed for God's permanent abode, His Spirit inhabits you. Then he goes on to say this: "He designed every cell in your body to accommodate and express Him." That's how you've been designed. He designed every cell in your body to accommodate God, to be full of God, and to express Him. Expressions of the Spirit. Amen? I want to express Him. And the only way that we're going to express Him and allow Him to be expressed through us, Carol, is to live full, isn't it? To live full. Amen? I got to read that again. That's just so good. You want to hear it again?
Yes.
Realize that your life is God's building, His sanctuary, designed for His permanent abode. His Spirit inhabits you. He designed every cell in your body to accommodate and express Him. Hallelujah. That's a good shouting ground right there. Amen. God wants us so full of the Holy Spirit on the inside that He shows on the outside. Amen. See, the full man will have the Holy Spirit showing up on the outside. Not just, "Oh, I got Jesus in my heart." Well, thank God you got Him in there, but let Him grow in there. Let Him get so big and full in there that we see Him in your talk, in your walk, in your expressions, in the words that come out of your mouth when you encounter troubles and tests and trials and tribulations. Amen? It matters that you live full. It matters that you live full. The Message, let me put it to you this way from The Message, 1 Corinthians. It says, "You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God and God himself is present in you. No one, verse 17, no one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. Amen. You can be sure of that. God's temple is sacred. And you, remember, are the temple. You're the temple of God. You're the habitation of his presence. The habitation of his power. See, when you get a revelation of that, amen, when you get a revelation of that, of this greater one, of the fullness of his spirit on the inside of you, it matters not what, it doesn't matter at all what happens. You got the victory because you're full of the victor. The victorious one. His victory then becomes your victory. Because you're so full of him. Amen? So very, very full of him. If people truly did realize that God himself lived on the inside of them, we would stop tolerating things in this life. You wouldn't tolerate a headache over a cancer. You wouldn't tolerate just a little need going unmet over, you know, a house or a mortgage or whatever the case may be being met and paid for. You wouldn't tolerate even the smallest little thing going unmet. This is good. If we truly realize that God himself was on the inside of us, we don't have to go with anything unmet. He is the need meter. Amen. See, so many times we get full of needs instead of full of God. What are you full of today? Are you full of fear concerning needs? Are you full of him? The one that meets those needs. Amen. We wouldn't tolerate. If we realize how full we are of his presence and how God dwells in us and his habitation is in us, then we would not tolerate any form of sickness, disease, poverty, or lack. Because sin and anything associated with sin, and that's where sickness and disease and poverty and lack come in, through sin, right? That was the door that brought them in here, into this planet. When man sinned, devil moved in, brought all of his baggage with him.
Amen.
All the diseases that you see today, he unpacked them. Amen. But we wouldn't tolerate these things if we just truly realized that God himself was on the inside of us. You wouldn't tolerate sin on any level. You cannot become God inside minded. Now think about this without faith. It takes faith. It requires faith to become God inside minded. It takes faith to live full. It takes faith to live full of the Spirit of God. Faith is required. Amen. It takes faith for these things. The more you exercise your faith and you become aware that God lives on the inside of you, things begin to change. When you exercise faith in the greater one. Amen? Amen? The problem that a lot of believers have is they aren't hungry for God because they're more hungry for the things of this world. We're attracted to other things that we shouldn't be attracted to. You can't put natural things or natural needs before spiritual things or spiritual needs. Spiritual things must always come first. Amen. And you can't put natural needs before spiritual needs. Well, we need this and we need that and we got to do this and we got to do that. No, you can't put natural needs before spiritual things. Amen. You can't go to church here and go to church there and go to church over here or stay home and have church because you watch, you know, something goofy on TBN or whatever. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching, Pastor. I know it. It's the Word. It's the Word. Well, that's just rubbing me the wrong way. Well, you know what you do. If you're rubbing the cat the wrong way, turn the cat around. Get him going the right direction. We got a cat. How old's that cat? 16. Sylvester is 16. He moved out. He's with Bethany now. But he doesn't like to be, and he doesn't like his fur rubbed the wrong way, and I don't either. What's the key? Turn the cat around. Turn our thinking. Change our thinking. Amen. Amen. Change our hearts. Humble ourselves. It's the prideful that get rubbed the wrong way. The humble man will say, oh, this is good. I'm glad you're helping me. Anybody want to throw stones? Amen. You can't be full of the world and full of God at the same time. Matters what you're full of. Amen. Robin alluded to this, but let's turn and look at it. Matthew chapter 5. Very, very simple. Verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what?
Filled.
It's the hungry man that gets filled. It's the hungry man that gets filled. Sometimes you don't feel like you're hungry, and usually when you feel like you're not hungry, you're empty. It's a trap. It's a devilish trap that the devil springs. When you feel like you're so unhungry, you don't have an appetite for the things of God, you're just not interested in this anymore. I'm just not hungry. I mean, I'm okay. I'm fine. No, you're not fine. If you're not hungry, if you're not excited, if you're not on fire, if you're not living in a continual, perpetual state of personal, individual revival in your life, then you're not hungering and thirsting like you should be. It's a good checkup today, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The problem a lot of believers have is they aren't hungry for God because they're more hungry for the things of this world. I don't want that to be said of us. I was praying about this one time, actually just praying in spirit, praying in other tongues. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit gave me the interpretation of what I was praying out, and he said this. He said, people aren't hungry for me and the things of my spirit because they aren't fully aware of my indwelling presence. Let me read it again. People aren't hungry for me and the things of my spirit because they aren't fully aware of my indwelling presence. The more that you are aware of God's indwelling presence, that God himself lives on the inside of you, the hungrier that you will become for him. It won't just be a head knowledge. Yes, God's in me. My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not just a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. And when it's a heart knowledge, there's going to be a hunger in you that just can't be satisfied. You eat all the time. You drink all the time. Can't stop eating. Can't stop drinking. You're always going, always wanting. Always filling up. Amen?
Amen.
When you become aware of him, then you'll be attracted to him. Because just one glimpse, I mean a true glimpse of God, just something in your head. You can't get enough. You'll want more. You'll want more. You want more. You can't stop. You want more. You wish that pastor would preach every single day so you could come to church every single day. We laugh about it, but there's truth to that. There's truth to that. We don't look at services, oh, you know, we got to go to church, oh, we got this special meeting, oh, we got to do this, and yeah, bless God, we can do it, and, you know, we suck it up and we do it. And there's not a real hunger there, so if there's not a real hunger there, you're not going to get much out of that. You got to learn how to pull. See, the full man will pull. He'll make a demand upon the anointing. He'll make a demand upon the Holy Spirit. The full man will learn how to respond to the Spirit of God. The empty man will not respond to him. You got to learn how to respond to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And spiritual hunger can also be an honor issue. Many people say that they honor God, but it's only in lip service. Honor is vital when we are seeking first the kingdom of God and putting Him first in our lives. We put God first because we honor Him. If He's not first, if other things are first, it's because you don't honor Him. Spiritual hunger is an honor issue. It's an honor issue. You honor other things more than you honor God. I want to honor Him. Amen. We honor God when we don't feel like honoring God. We honor God when we do feel like honoring God. We honor Him always. We seek first the kingdom. We seek the will of God. We seek the plan of God. We put Jesus first always. Every thought, every decision, every action, everything that we do, where's Jesus in this? Amen. The Lord went on to say this to me as I was interpreting that message He gave me in tongues. He went on to say this, that people fail to honor me and my presence because of two things. People fail to honor me in my presence because of two things. Number one, he said, their minds are preoccupied and set on something or someone else. This is what the Holy Spirit said. He said that people fail to honor me because of two things. Number one, that their minds are preoccupied and set on something or someone else. Or number two, he said this, they really don't believe that I am present because they've allowed their spiritual senses to become dull. Two main reasons there why people fail to honor God. Hello? Because we allow our minds, number one, to be preoccupied and set on something or someone else. Or number two, we really don't believe. I mean, if we truly believed that He was with us, you wouldn't just quote the scripture, well, you know what, two or three are gathered in His name, rah, rah, rah. But it really doesn't mean anything to you. Yes, He's here when we gather in His name, absolutely. But He's with me when I'm at home, when you're at home. You're the temple of God corporately and individually. And the church will be stronger corporately. The spiritual family will be stronger corporately when we're stronger individually. Amen. Weak fellowship. Don't have weak fellowship with God. If you have weak fellowship with Him, and our church services, you come together, our church services will be weak. And everything is dependent upon whoever's speaking, whoever's ministering. It's all dependent upon them, maybe a two or three here and there. But think about this. What if we all came together corporately in unity of the Spirit? Prayed up. I mean, praying for the service. Praying for whoever it is that's speaking. For the anointing of God to flow and to move through them. Can you imagine? We've had some of those times here. And we've also had some times here like that. Or had some times here that Oh, I don't want to talk about. Because people put too much stock and try to put too much responsibility on the minister instead of putting responsibility on self. Good preaching, Pastor. Amen. I don't want to allow my spiritual senses to become dull, and you shouldn't either. Amen. When they're dull, we're not going to honor God like we should. You won't honor your commitments like you should. Take your commitments to God literally. I mean, take them, make them serious. My commitment to God, my commitment to the ministry. Take them seriously. Take your commitment in the nursery like you're working, you know, for God himself, because you are. As you're cleaning those little bottoms, somebody's got to do it. Hello. Take your commitment to ushering. Take your commitment to praise and worship. Take your commitment. All of these areas, parking lot, I don't care. Take your commitment seriously. Take what you do. This is serious business. Honor it. Remain faithful. Amen. A full spirit will be a sensitive spirit. Be a sharp spirit. Amen. Somebody asking you for help, leadership asking you for help, pastor asking you for help. Well, okay, but let me pray about it first. Okay, let you pray about it? Let me slap you upside the head. You got the pastor himself. Are you here? The pastor himself who's talking to you, asking for your help with something, and then, okay, well, I'll pray about it. Really? Your spiritual sensitivity is just so dull. Amen. Be sharp. Amen. Well, I don't believe the Lord's called me to do that. And that's all right. Pastor asks you to do it. There'll be an anointing and a grace there to help you do it. And if he was wrong and he missed it, if I was wrong and missed it, then the Lord will grace it and the Lord will reveal it and we'll move on to something else. We'll get you into something else. But it'll be fun. It'll be a learning experience. It'll be a growing time. It'll be a great time. Oh, am I in the right church today? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. When one remains or becomes spiritually dull, and he just can't cut it anymore, you won't be able to cut life. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, are you there? Ecclesiastes 10. Look at verse 10, New King James. It says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Well, there's a whole lot in that verse. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Message Bible, I like the way the message puts it. It says, remember, the duller the axe, the harder the work. Use your head, the more brains, the less muscle. Or, I could put it to you this way, the renewed mind, or a full spirit, right? The less muscle you'll have to use, the less physical exertion that you'll have to have. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. I'll wind up here in just a second. Matthew chapter 13. I want to live full. Amen. I want to live sharp. Matthew chapter 13. Look in verse 10. New Living Translation, it says, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. Notice that. To those who listen, then you'll understand more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. If you're not going to listen, then you're not going to understand, right? And they will have, it says, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have, it'll be taken away from them. It's not that God's taking it away. It's just because if you're not listening, even the little understanding that you have, it's going to dissipate, it's going to disappear, it's going to be drawn out of you because you're not living full. Can you see? And then you'll go backwards and you'll go backwards. Everybody else is moving forward. And the things that you once understood, you don't understand anymore. And the place that you were in before, previously, you're not in anymore. Verse 13, that is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened. New King James says, they have grown dull. Your spiritual sensitivity has become dull. You've allowed your spirit to get hard. Amen? For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears, it says, cannot hear. And notice this, and they have closed their eyes. Who closed their eyes? Did the devil close them? No. Did God close them? No, who closed them? And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. In other words, God wants to do these things, but he can't because you close your eyes, you close your ears, you close your heart, and he can't move. There's nothing more devastating and detrimental to the believer that has a closed spirit. You cannot allow your spirit man. You cannot close your spirit man. Offense will close your spirit, man. Hurts. Things that happen. Husband and wife get in a spat or, you know, things. If you aren't careful, you'll begin to close your spirit. And your spirit becomes hardened towards them. Hurts do that. Continually being hurt. Well, you see, they shouldn't have hurt me. They shouldn't have done this. Quit trying to put the responsibility on everything that they said or everything that they did. It's not necessarily always what they have done. It's how you respond in the situation. Because your response can change it. Amen. Your response has the ability to change those situations. Amen. And to turn marriages and families around. No, it's not always fun. No, it's not always easy. But keep your heart open and sensitive and sharp to the things of God. Don't close your spirit. Tried to counsel somebody one time. This was years ago. Tried to counsel somebody one time and called upon their life, ministry, and the Lord wanting to be able to use them. But they begin to allow some things to begin to hurt them. and allow these hurts. And I remember talking to this person, and I said, where are you? What do you mean? I'm right here. I said, no, where are you? You have closed your spirit. Don't close your spirit. Because see, a lot of times the hurts that we experience are all because we perceive things wrongly. And when you begin to perceive things wrongly, you can open yourself up to hurt. Perception's everything. But if you're spiritually sharp, you can perceive these things correctly. The devil may come to try to bring offense or try to bring hurt or to try to bring division, especially in homes. Amen. Oh, this is good marital counseling here today. Are you listening? Just joking. She needs to listen, doesn't she? She better listen. Amen. Amen. Don't close your spirit. Now, if you find yourself where, well, I haven't closed my spirit to God. I haven't closed my heart to God. But it's only when so-and-so talks to me. I can talk to others. Something's wrong here. Your heart is wrong. Amen? Your heart is wrong. The full man will have an open spirit, a strong spirit. And you don't have to be fearful of anything. Have anyone hurt? We've all fallen into this trap, right? Pastors can especially be susceptible to it. And you begin to close your heart. You begin to close yourself off from the people because this one said this, and that one said that, and this one spread this lie, and this one said this one about the church, and this one leaves the church, and then that one leaves the church, and then and you begin to look at all the negative things, and you don't look at the good things, and you look at the people that leave, and you don't look at the people that come, and you don't look at the people that support, and you don't look at the people that do this, and you begin to close your heart, and you begin to get hard, then you begin to distance yourself. Well, I've been there. That's not fun. And you begin to retreat, and you go live in your little cocoon, and you're like, don't answer the door. I'm not going to let them hurt me anymore. What if Jesus did that? Thank goodness, been doing this a while now and I'm learning a few things. What if he did that to us? How many times have I hurt him, so to speak? Have I resisted him? Have I done something to him? What if he said, you know what? I'm done with him.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Put on his church face and smile and pat me on the shoulder when he sees me at church, but on the inside, closed. They're not getting in here. No. The Bible says, guard your heart. I'm guarding it. You're guarding it the wrong way. See, the man that is full, his heart will be guarded. Guarded by the presence and the power and the word and the strength and the joy and the peace of God. Everybody, there's people in your family that's going to disappoint you. You got friends that are going to disappoint you. Everybody has somebody that will disappoint them. It's not the end of the world. As long as you live here on this planet, there's going to be these situations and things. Think about this. The one that had the greatest disappointment in your heart, greatest disappointment in your life, maybe the one that you the wrong perceived hurt, the one that you say hurt you the most, the one that did this, the one that said that, you could end up living next to them in heaven. Because the Lord has a sense of humor. Do you think he lets you walk in there? Well, I choose this lot. I choose this property. No, I'm going to choose my neighbor. I don't want to live there because so-and-so lives right across the street. Now, we can do that down here, but you can't do that up there.
Thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
A lot of these ones that the Lord has in our lives, and you know, this doesn't sound a whole lot of like there's a lot of faith in it. Oh, but there's a lot of faith in it if you listen to me. These ones that rub us the wrong way, these ones that continually, you know, challenge us, these ones that continually get under our skin, these ones that are always seemingly in our face and we're really having truly to exercise faith, to walk in love, these are the ones that you need the most. They're helping us build character. They're helping us get some of these rough edges off, Rosie.
I bet Byron's never had any rough edges, right? He's all smooth now. He's smooth. He's smooth.
Amen.
We've all had rough edges. We still might have a few here and there. People shouldn't get poked when they bump into you. Amen. Because you're so rough. The full man that allows the Holy Spirit to transform him, to change him from glory to glory to glory, to point out these things and allow the Holy Spirit to grow in our hearts and to get bigger in this area and to get bigger in that area and to just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow till you become just like the one whose image you were truly created in, Jesus. I want to be like him. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Pattern my family. Pattern my life. Pattern my ministry after Jesus. He never wrote anybody off. Especially family. And he's got a big family. Big, big, big family. And he's never wrote anybody off. He's remained faithful. He's remained true. Even when people have talked about him, said horrible things about him, accused him of some horrendous things, of killing, stealing, destroying. God, why'd you take my baby from me? He didn't take your baby. God, why'd you take uncle from me or take auntie? He didn't take them. He received them, but he didn't take them. He didn't kill them. Full. Full. One more scripture and we'll stop here. Psalm 26. I'll leave you with this. Psalm 26, verse 8. King James puts it this way. It says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Wow. I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place, I love it, where thine honor dwelleth. New King James says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Being glorified. Your habitation of his glory. Amen. New Living says, I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glory shines. Let him shine through you. In you. Let him smile through you. Let him love through your eyes. Love through your touch. Love through your words. Love through your embrace. Let his glory shine through you because you're so full of him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. For all suri bidefre siti bekinda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Jaime, as I was praying 2 days ago, the Lord kept bringing you up. I know we had had lunch and we had talked a little bit. But my spirit was just so stirred about some things. And there's another place. There's another place. There's more that he wants to reveal to you. There's more that he wants to show you. There's more that he wants to manifest in your life. You don't have all there is. And you know that. But you don't have all that there is, even in regards to the fullness of your calling yet. It's still there. You've progressed in it. But there's still more that's available. And he wants to reveal some of these things to you. Spend much time praying in other tongues. Much time. Much time praying in other tongues. And spend much time not just praying in the Spirit, that place, but spend much time listening in the Spirit, listening for His voice, and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal some of these things to you and show you, because there's a higher place that He's calling you to. There's a higher place. Amen. Amen. You received that? Yes, sir. He's a good receiver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are things that are just untapped. Untapped. That are being unlocked. If we'll step over into it and receive it. Amen. If you just step over into it and receive it. And unlock your heart. Unlock your spirit. And allow these things to come out. To grow in you. And begin to shine through you. And begin to speak through you. And begin to express through you. Allow the Spirit of God this opportunity in this time. And be patient. Be patient. Be patient in this. Don't get in a hurry. But stay in step. And don't get left behind either. And allow the Spirit of God to reveal and to show, and begin to reveal facets of your character that he desires to work on, so that he can transform you even greater and even fuller than he has been able to thus far. Then you'll begin to come out of that cocoon, and then you'll begin to blossom, and then you'll begin to grow and do the things that God's called you to do in this season that you're in now. It's a good season. And it's a good time for both of you. It's a real good time. It's an important season. Then there's going to come a day. Oh, there'll come a day. And it's not that far away. If you'll just listen and stay sensitive, remain humble. And these things that he's going to do through you, it'll shake this planet. The power of God. Not the way that man thinks, but the way that God thinks. And that's more important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You receive that? There's more, but that's enough for now. Praise you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Master. There's been a shift, James. There's been a shift. There's been a shift. Hallelujah. Hold on. Mondre firi basuri bidemi. Hallelujah. 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 Mala bare fri soro mama. Mo kore fri sirvi te frente. Come on. Come on, sweetheart. Hombre fita kasore bine. Kombre fri te pasoro mana debe. Sore pae fristo mako soro mede.